great is thy faithfulness. all I needed, God, thy hand has provided. Isn't that true? And I know that this past year has certainly been a great demonstration of the Lord's faithfulness. How many, anybody here had any kind of struggles this past year? Anybody? Just had a smooth sailing all year? Lord's been faithful, hadn't he? Through it all. Let's take God's word this morning and go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Last Sunday we were in Psalm 100. Today we'll go to Psalm 103. And another Thanksgiving appropriate message, we trust. Psalm number 103. Another Psalm of David. And notice what God's word says. Psalm number 103. God's word says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it's gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 104 continues with the same thought. We're not going to read all of it, just the first one. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Bless the Lord is the theme, obviously, of this particular psalm, Psalm 103, and so is also Psalm 104. But that's what I want to talk about this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What does it mean to bless the Lord? And the simple answer is, it simply means be a blessing to the Lord. May the Lord be pleased with us. May the Lord be pleased, and may that be the desire of our heart. And all that is within me, everything about me, may it be a blessing to the Lord. May he be pleased. May he be satisfied that my attitude and my heart and my response to all his benefits, as it refers to in verse number 2, is a blessing to the Lord. He benefits us in, obviously, a multitude of ways. The Bible tells you in Psalm 69:18 that he, or 68:19, I guess it is, he daily loadeth us with benefits. Daily. He loads us with benefits, and he certainly does. materially, he definitely does, but even more so than that, spiritually, he really does. Psalm number 116 and verse number 12 asks the question, what shall I render to the Lord thus for all his benefits toward me? And I believe the answer here in Psalm 103 is to bless him. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord is not simply the idea that you just say thanks and go on, or that you say, well, bless the Lord, isn't that nice? And you go on your ways, but rather that this thought of blessing the Lord is the idea, literally, of being a blessing, and the Lord is blessed, the Lord is encouraged, the Lord is glad, the Lord is pleased by our attitude and our heart about all his benefits. First of all, that we don't forget them, that we are aware of them. And, you know, we sang the song to begin the service, Count Your Blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. I was thinking about that song a day or two ago. You know, not only will it surprise us what the Lord has done, but I think if we would practice that song, counting our blessings and naming them one by one, not only would it surprise us what the Lord has done, it would surprise us how little we pay attention to it, how little we are aware of all that the Lord has done. But the Lord indeed daily loads us with benefits. And of course, we understand that all of those benefits, those blessings from the Lord, are the result of his mercy. You notice several references in this psalm to the Lord's mercy. Jeremiah the prophet said in Lamentations chapter 3 that it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not, the Bible says. They're new every morning. That's an amazing thing. But you notice the Bible tells us here in verse number 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious. Merciful and gracious. Mercy and grace is two sides of one thought here. We've heard this before. Mercy is when the Lord doesn't give us what we rightfully deserve. And grace is when God gives us far more than we do deserve. And the Lord is both of those things. The Lord is merciful and gracious. And he addresses both of those things. His gracious benefits that he gives to us that we do not deserve. I hear often, and we all think at different times, why do bad things happen to good people? But the other side of that is, why do good things happen to bad people? And I say bad people, I'm talking about us. We are just sinners saved by grace. We are as dust, the Bible tells us. We're just dirt, and we're not the perfect people that are entitled and deserving of all of God's blessings. God owes it to us because we are so good. That's not us. I hope you don't think that you are. And I don't think anybody here thinks that way, and I certainly hope you don't, because that's an awful arrogant way to think. And the Lord doesn't like arrogance. That is not a blessing to the Lord at all. But our point is that the Lord is very, very gracious to us, and very, very merciful to us. The Bible tells us in verse number 8 that he is plenteous in mercy. Plenteous in mercy. I like that statement, plenteous in mercy. That means he's got enough to go around for everybody. You know, I absolutely, every day that I get up, enjoy the mercies of the Lord, understanding, again, from Lamentations chapter 3, that they're new every morning. It's brand new. It's a fresh supply. He never, ever runs out. The Lord has lots and lots and lots of mercy on me. I claim a whole lot of his mercy. I use up a whole lot of his mercy. But I just want you to know that doesn't leave any shortage for you. All righty? I'm not cutting into your supply of mercy either, because there's enough for everybody. God has plenty of mercy. He's plenteous in mercy. There's enough for all of us. There's enough for the whole world. There's enough for everything that you need. God is plenteous in mercy. The Bible tells you in verse number 11, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Right? His mercy is plenteous, and his mercy is so great, the Bible says. The Bible says it's as the heaven is high above the earth. One of these real chilly, cold nights, if you can take just a couple of minutes to stand outside when it's a clear night, there's no clouds, and that's when it's cold, nothing to hold the heat in, so all the heat goes out, and you just got a real clear sky. You look up in that sky, and you see all those stars up there, and those things are so far beyond our imagination in distance from here. Those stars would take hundreds of years to travel to if you traveled at the speed of light, which is 186,000 miles every second. Every second. Not 186,000 miles an hour, 186,000 miles per second. If you could travel that fast, it takes you scores and hundreds of years to reach those stars. But the thing is, once you reach the stars, you probably got that much distance and more to the other side of the stars, beyond the stars, past the stars. We're talking about how high the heavens is above the earth. It's real high. And the Bible says that's God's mercy. That's God's mercy. As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. You can never, ever run out of it. Ever, ever, ever. It is literally infinite, his mercy. The Bible tells you about his mercy down here in verse number 17. The Bible says the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting. In other words, it's always been there. And it's to everlasting, which means it's always going to be there. All righty? It's upon them that fear him and his righteousness unto children's children. That means there's enough mercy for all of your life. There's enough mercy for all of your children and all of their life. And there's enough mercy for your children's children and all of their life forever and forever and forever. This mercy of the Lord is a wonderful thing. This grace and mercy of the Lord is a wonderful thing. And that in itself is enough to bless the Lord with all that is within us, to bless his holy name. That in itself is the biggest benefit of all, because out of that mercy and grace comes all the other benefits. And so we need to make sure that we don't forget all his benefits, and that we have our eyes open to the fact that every day we breathe, from the moment our eyelids first open up and we realize we're still on the top side of green, that it's a wonderful day and it's a wonderful life. Jimmy Stewart time is coming, you know, and all that kind of Christmas story stuff, and all that feel good stuff. But you know, apart from all that, even without all that, life is pretty good. I know it's tough in this world. You're going to have tribulation, but God is faithful. Great is his faithfulness, and all we've needed, his hand hath provided. That's the song. I hope you meditated on that as you played that. But his benefits are daily. They're loaded, and they come out of this everlasting, high as the heavens, great, plenteous mercy. Mercy. He just gives and gives and gives, and doesn't give and doesn't give and doesn't give what we do deserve. Verse number 2 says, forget not all his benefits, and he begins to list some of those benefits. Who forgiveth, verse number 3 says, all thine iniquities. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. Now, I just really do like my King James Bible. Please don't give me a modern English version. I like my Bible to say forgiveth. I like that E-T-H on the end, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. You know what that means? That means the Lord forgave all of my iniquities, my sins, and he continues to forgive them. He is still forgiving them. He forgave all of them, number one, when I received him as my Savior as a six-year-old boy in 1959 at 51 East Stone Street in Fairfield, Iowa, and I called upon the Lord Jesus to be my Savior and to forgive my sin, and he did, and he forgave all of it. There's been a lot of sins come and go in all of those years since then, and in however many more days the Lord might let me breathe on this earth, unfortunately, there is going to be a whole bunch more. But they're all forgiven, cleansed and washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has forgiven all mine iniquities. But the statement is, he forgiveth. That means not only did he forgive me then, but he continues to forgive me now, has been forgiving me for all of those 50-some years since I got saved. He continues to forgive me. He forgives me today. I hate to say this, but probably even today on the Lord's Day, I'm going to fight a bad attitude about something or other. I'm probably going to get a little miffed about something. Probably. I hope not. I'm not planning on it. I'm not making me a list and a schedule. Okay, at 2:30, you get mad about this. I don't do anything like that. I haven't got to that point yet. Sometime tomorrow, sometime this week, I may get a little, depressed maybe, or I don't know, I might even say discouraged. I hope not. I might. But you know what? The Lord will forgive me for that as well. He will. You know why? Because he forgiveth. That means he forgives and forgives and he keeps forgiving. You know, more than likely, today I'm going to have to ask the Lord to forgive me, because I got to have a right spirit. My attitude is just not right. And you know what? I hate to make this confession. I don't want to bust anybody's bubble who think I'm just so perfect. Anybody like that, by the way? I didn't think so. But you know what? If I have to confess today that I got a bad attitude about such and such or whatever, you know, it won't be the first time. I've had that problem before. You ever had things that you've had problems with and you confess them and God forgives you, and then lo and behold, you got to do it again. You got to confess. Not because he didn't forgive you the first time, but because you did it again. You got a bad attitude again, or maybe you said some smart aleck thing that you shouldn't have said again, or some unkind thing that you shouldn't have said, or you had some kind of unkind thought that you shouldn't a thought, whether you expressed it or not, and you got to say, Lord, please, that was stupid. That was not right. And you just did that yesterday. But you know, he forgiveth all thine iniquities. It includes the truth, not just in a general way, yeah, you're all forgiven, all your sins are forgiven, but all the particular sins are forgiven. He forgives you every time. And it never, ever reaches a point where the Lord says, listen, I've forgiven you for that for the last time. Now, if you do it again, you're on your own. I'm not forgiving you anymore. You ever think about it? God never, ever says that. God never does that. Never. Ever. He forgiveth all thine iniquities. He continues to do that. That's mercy. That's a wonderful thing. Forgives all thine iniquities. You notice the Bible tells you here in verse number 8, the reason again is the Lord's merciful and gracious. You notice the Bible says he's slow to anger, plenteous in mercy, He'll not always chide. Sometimes he chides. Chides means to scold and rebuke. Sometimes he does, and sometimes he doesn't. Doesn't always chide. Neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You notice the Bible says he's not dealt with us after our sins. Aren't we glad about that? Every time we sin, thump, in the bus. Just smacks us over the head with a 2x4 and knocks us silly and cripples us or kills us just as soon as we sin. Aren't you glad for that? Bad attitude comes along. Funeral, hospital, ambulance, something. He deals with us. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that the Lord doesn't meet our needs based on our level of perfection? Whoa. That'd sure speed up the diet, wouldn't it? I wouldn't have too many groceries. If my provision was based on my perfection. He doesn't deal with us after our sins, the Bible says, nor reward us according to our iniquities. You know, that is not a statement. I think we know this. That's not a statement that, so sin is really no big deal. It's all right. You go right ahead. Because God's going to forgive you. He's going to keep right on forgiving you. And he's never going to quit forgiving you. So you just go right ahead and sin. We know better than that. We know when the Bible says he's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We know that's not a statement that God's just glossing over sin and saying it's no big deal. We know the truth is, while he has not dealt with us after our sins, he's not rewarded us according to our iniquities, he has dealt with his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, according to our sins, after our sins. He has dealt with our sins for sure. That's important. We need to make sure we don't ever, ever, ever forget that. That moves to the top of the benefit list. God has dealt with our sins, but he's not dealt with us after our sins. He's dealt with the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53 tells us very clearly, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He has dealt with our sins. He's taken them from us, removed them from us. He's laid them all upon the Lord Jesus. And that anger that he refers to here, that slow to anger, he's not going to keep it forever. He is going to get rid of that anger, and he did. He poured all of his wrath out upon the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung there on the cross as a substitute and a sacrifice for us. God dealt with our sins. God vented, if you please, his anger against sin. You know, the Bible does say in the Psalms, he's angry with the wicked every day. But he dealt with our sins and poured out his wrath against our sin upon his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. And thus, mercy is available to us. The Lord is merciful and gracious and plenteous in mercy, slow to anger, and he doesn't deal with us after our sins. He does deal with our sins, but not with us. He deals with our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we need to deal with our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, if we confess, we're talking about Christians now. As Christians, believers, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is. He's faithful. That means he will do it every time. And he is just. That means it's right for him to do it because He has paid, if you please, the penalty for our sins. He has dealt with our sins thoroughly. That's why we are saved. We are saved forever. That's why we have life that lasts forever. That's why when these bodies die, eventually they will, that we will continue to live in heaven. That's why he that believeth on me hath everlasting life, Jesus said. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die, the Lord said in John chapter number 11, because he has removed our transgressions from us as far as the east is from the west. He's taken them from us, and he has poured out his anger against our sin upon his only begotten Son, and he is completely satisfied that our sin is dealt with, and all of his perfect righteous indignation and hatred and wrath and anger and retribution for sin, all taken care of. Satisfied is the Bible word. He forgiveth all thine iniquities, the Bible says, because of what the Lord Jesus did, because of what God did to the Lord Jesus on our behalf and given us eternal life. And you notice verse number 3, he healeth all thy diseases, all thy diseases. That's a wonderful thing. Boy, we need a right perspective on this as well. Because he's forgiven all of our iniquities, taken them all away, given us life as in himself, we live forever, we'll never ever die. Nothing's going to kill you. Nothing's ever going to kill you. We've had lots of diseases so far. Most of you probably had measles or mumps or something like that. You may have had some other diseases, and obviously nothing's killed you yet, has it? You've had colds and flus and who knows what else. All kinds of surgeries and all kinds of stuff. Cancers and heart attacks and all kinds of stuff. And nothing's killed you yet. And guess what? It's not going to. Sometime you're going to have to move from one body to another body. You're going to have to move from earth to heaven. You're going to have to move from a mortal body to an immortal body, but you're never, ever going to die. Did you ever think about that? You're never, ever going to die. That's why when somebody has cancer or some serious disease and they die, they're healed. They don't have it anymore. When a saved person dies of, you know, cancer or heart disease or whatever, and they go to heaven, guess what? They don't take that to heaven with them. They don't have that anymore. And they are just as alive. We think, well, they're dead now. No, they're not. Their body is dead. They're done with it. It's just temporary. It's been temporary ever since they were born into that body at whatever time they were born. That body is just temporary. And the Lord has another body eternal in the heavens, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says. And that's the one you're going to live out the rest of eternity in. And that one is never, ever going to die, because there's no such thing as death in heaven, according to Revelation chapter number 21. There's no such thing. There's not even such a thing as sickness. All right? And so this statement that he healeth all thy diseases really is true. Again, doctrinally, Psalm 103 is set in the millennium, and in the millennium he literally will heal people's diseases, specifically Jews. But he even then, he heals all of our diseases. We are never, ever going to die. We're going to move from earth to heaven one of these days because we'll be done with this body. But we're going to have another one. All right? The Bible says he redeems thy life from destruction. Or does he ever? You know, the Bible says down here in verse number 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it's gone, just like grass. Remember what seems like just a few weeks ago, it was springtime, and the grass was lush and green, and some of you were mowing it about every 3 or 4 or 5 days, and after a long winter, you was glad to be mowing, but after about 3 or 4 times, enough of this, all righty. And then, you remember, it got real hot, And we went weeks. We didn't have to mow. And that nice, green, lush grass wasn't lush and green anymore. It was kind of flat and dead and brown, like it is now. That's grass. And you know, he says, that's what man is. Man, we're young and full of energy and full of ourselves and green behind the ears and everything else like that, and think we know everything and we know nothing. And then the next thing you know, we're not quite as green, and we're not quite as lush, and we're not quite as full, you know, like grass. And we start to thin out and sometimes fill out somewhere else. You know, we're not as flourishing as we used to be, and pretty soon we're no more. That's man. He kind of gets old. And the Lord remembers all that. The Lord knows all that. And he redeems our life from destruction and keeps us from destroying ourselves, keeps us from really messing up things, and keeps us from, you know, while our bodies may deteriorate and fade off into the cemetery. You know, when we have the less amount of strength, we have the more amount of brains and experience. And so we can make better do with the little that we do have. We got all this energy and exuberance and but not the brains and the experience to go with it. And if you got to choose, this is my impression, I'd rather have the brains and the experience and be able to use what strength I do have in a more fruitful and productive way than when I had lots and lots of energy but no clue what to do with it. Wasted it all on a basketball court. Yeah, think of the good I could have done for the Lord and for eternity if I'd have had some sense back when I had lots of energy to use it for good things. He redeems thy life from destruction. He crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Boy, he does, doesn't it? He just kind of puts a crown on our head. Crowns a year with his goodness, Psalm 65 says. And boy, the Lord does that. All of us, doesn't he? He's just good. Gives us a good family. Good children. You know, a wife or husband that you love. Children that you love. Good friends. Church that believes the Bible. Church that loves the Lord, church that God blesses and uses, gives you freedom. We still have it. We still got it. In spite of everything, we still got it. And he gives us health and the opportunity to do something with the freedom that we have. He gives us hope. As in genuine hope, real hope. We know what's coming. We know the Lord's coming. We know heaven's coming. Even though we may go through the undertaker, or we may go by the upper taker, one or the other, but we know where we're going. He just crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He watches over us. He protects us. Keeps us safe. We got here safely. You're barreling down the road in 4,000 or 5,000 pounds of metal at 55 or 65, depending on who you are and which way you come and so forth. And you're barreling down the road in a couple of tons of steel, and somebody else is barreling right at you just about that far from you, and the Lord protects you. You're riding on literally on air, supported by thin little rubber. It's called tires. And long as the Lord holds those tires, that little rubber tire up, and that air doesn't escape all of a sudden and blow you off course, boy, you can keep right on down the road. And the Lord watches over you. The Lord protects you. And he does that. He does that. He does that for most folks, but he does it for us, is our point. The Bible says he crowns us. He satisfies us. Our youth is renewed. He executes righteousness and judgment. He made known his ways unto Moses' acts and to the children of Israel. You want to see the Lord's ways? Then look at Israel. See what he did. He shed his blood. The blood of the Lamb brought him out of Egypt. And the power of God got him across the Red Sea. And they got out there in the wilderness. And he met every need that they had every day. Every single day, every single need he took care of, even though they disobeyed him and they wouldn't believe him and they wasted 40 years of their life, even in the wilderness, even wasting their life, he provided for them. Their shoes waxed not old on their feet. Their clothes didn't wear out. That would disappoint the ladies. They don't get to go shopping. Don't need to go shopping all the time. But he met every need. He gave them manna every single day. Every single day. Gave him a day off every week. Every week. Told him to. Made him take a day off. Well, what a wonderful thing. And that's when they're backslid. That's when they were backslid. That's the Lord's ways. He had mercy on them. He protected them from their own self. As well as from their other enemies. The Lord is merciful and gracious. And so, the Bible tells us to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Even the angels are to bless the Lord, and all of his host is to bless the Lord, and all of his works are to bless the Lord, and my soul and everything that is within me is to bless the Lord. It is to be a blessing to the Lord because of all his benefits. And I need to make sure I don't forget all his benefits. And you need to make sure you don't forget all his benefits. And in order to not forget them, you need to make sure that you see them in the first place. And to see them in the first place, you need to be watching for them and looking for them and asking for them and asking the Lord to see or to let you see and asking the Lord to show them to you. And every day when your eyes open, there's number one. When you're able to swing your feet over the side of that bed and get out of that bed, there's number two. And you go to the fridge and get you some breakfast, there's number three. And you put clothes on your body, there's number four. And you fire up your automobile, there's number five. And you drive safely to your job, there's number six or whatever it is. And you got a job, that's number whatever's next. And you work and you keep safe. And you do your job well, and you get back home to your family. There's number 8 and 9 and 10 and everything else like that. And you just go on and on all day long. The Lord has mercy. The Lord is gracious. The Lord blesses you. The Lord gives you opportunities to talk about him, to thank him, to praise him, to love him, to meditate on him. Just be a blessing. Just be a blessing. You go home to your wife or your husband. Let that relationship be a blessing to God as he sees you follow his instructions the way he designed that to be a blessing to you. You live it that way and let it be a blessing to him. He gives you wonderful children that are a heritage from him and a reward from him, the Bible says, and he sees you as parents trying to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and train them up in the way they should go. Boy, what a blessing that is to God to see you love him enough and be grateful enough and aware enough that he has blessed you, that you're going to take care of what he has entrusted you with. And he gives you a church that believes the Bible and is going to feed you God's word so you can grow. And he sees you be faithful to that thing. And you come there with your Bible and you open it up and you soak up God's word. That is a blessing to the Lord. And you get to sing songs about his blessings and about his goodness and about his grace and about his mercies. And you get to ask the Lord to tune your heart to sing his praise and seal it for him. Boy, that is a blessing to God when that's the kind of heart you have and that's what you really, really want because you don't forget all his benefits. And you just want your life as a response to God Not because God's got a big club hanging over you, that he's sitting there fixing to swat you a good one. No, just because he's plenteous in mercy. And he's gracious. And he's awful, awful good to us. And he is every day. Every one of us. And the reason then that we live a life that's pleasing to him, that's a blessing to him, that we bless the Lord with all that is within us, it's because I want to. Because I'm very, very grateful. Very aware. I am but dust. I am just a molded pile of dirt that God graciously breathed into his very breath and gave me this thing called life, and now blesses the living daylights out of it, and the best is still to come. Don't ever forget that. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Let's bow our heads this morning. Let us close our eyes. If you're saved, you're saved forever. If you're a child of God, you're a child of God forever. You can have fellowship with him every day. You got sins in your life, he'll forgive you every time for every sin if you'll confess. You'll see it the way he sees it. Call it what he calls it. You notice all the references to them that fear him, to them that fear him, to them that fear him. There's a God in heaven. And he's awful good to us. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm going to pray. As you play an invitation song, if you need to meet the Lord, maybe you have kind of forgotten some of these benefits. Maybe you haven't even been aware of them. Maybe you've been taking them for granted. Maybe you have gotten away from the fact they all come from God's mercy and grace, not because of a sense of entitlement or a sense that you deserve it or a sense that you have earned it or that God owes it to you. It's just mercy. It's just grace. It's all mercy. One song we sing says, "'Tis mercy all, immense and free, and it found out me." Dear Lord, help us and open our heart and eyes to your plenteous, great, everlasting, tender mercies to us. Your abundant grace to us, to the rich, full life that we have been blessed with. Our relationship with thee, our fellowship with thee, and our eternity with thee. Because you've dealt with our sins through the Lord Jesus and forgiven us of those very sins. May our hearts be truly grateful. And may it be the desire and intention and every effort of all that is within us to bless thee, to be a blessing to you, to please you, because we are so grateful. Dear Lord, bless the invitation as you please. May thy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. As ladies play, if you need to meet the Lord, please come.